Hello, ladies, and welcome back to another episode of Perspectives with Sherry. I am your host, Sherry Ryan. And for those that are new to the channel or to the audio podcast, I'd like to say welcome. Over here is a safe space for women in midlife. We focus on all things health, wealth, and empowerment. And I am so honored to have with me today special guest, Carolyn J. Murphy. She is no stranger to the show. So if you haven't caught the Dear Younger Self episode, please run over there and watch that because listen, Miss Carolyn had the mic drop moments. I mean, it was powerful. The feedback that I got was just phenomenal. So if you haven't, do yourself a treat, watch that. And we are so glad to have her back today to talk about her story. So I'm going to give you all some background information on her, and then, y'all, we are going to get into this amazing interview. So, Ms. Carolyn J. Murphy, she's a certified peer recovery specialist, a Christian life coach, and the founder of Firm Foundations Community Outreach. After years of living in silent survival mode, serving in ministry, raising a family, and hiding emotional wounds, Carolyn experienced a breakdown that led to a breakthrough. Her journey of healing birthed the powerful declaration, "I broke up with fear." And now she helps Christian women over 40 walk boldly into emotional healing, spiritual renewal, and purpose. She is also the author of an amazing book entitled, "God, Why Did You Save Me?" You can get that book right now on Amazon. I have a copy. It was phenomenal. She really has an amazing testimony. So welcome, Miss Carolyn.
Welcome. Thank you for allowing me to be with you on your wonderful platform so we can talk about some good stuff.
Yes. I am here for it. So let's get into it.
Okay.
All right. So, Carolyn, you describe a time when survival felt like enough. Can you take us back to what that looked like in your life and what made you finally pause and question if that was really living? You had your mic mute.
I apologize. Okay. Surviving was a norm for me. Which was bad. I was functioning, like you said, going to work, raising my sons, serving in church, but emotionally, I was numb. Mm. I didn't even realize how deeply I had buried my pain. Mm. What made me pause was the exhaustion, pure spiritual exhaustion, which went into the physical exhaustion. I hit a point where I tried. I got tired of pretending that everything was okay. I got tired of being humped over with responsibility. Yeah. And I finally realized that I was just existing, not living. And that was when the things started to change. I didn't realize that within my own self that I tried to make things work without God. But I eventually found out that there is no making it without God.
Amen. There is not. And you said you were doing all the things, working, raising kids, serving in ministry, while silently battling emotional wounds. What do you wish someone had noticed or asked you during that time?
I wish someone looked past my smile and asked either, "How are you feeling?" or "How is your heart really?" Mm. I didn't even need another task or scripture. I just needed someone to see my pain without judgment and maybe just create a safe space for me to be open and honest about the things that I was going through.
Mm. That's powerful. So many times, you know, we're quick to say, "Well, Sister So-and-so, I'm praying for you," which is a great thing. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, you're right. We send the scriptures. But sometimes we just as women need to be seen, just supported, mm-hmm. you know? And so that was powerful what you said there. Many women over 40, especially in church spaces, have been taught to perform strength while suppressing pain. What are some ways that belief system impacted your mental health and identity?
That belief system almost took me out. I became a master at masking, which that started between the ages of 4 and 6 when the first essay happened. And I thought that was faith, being able to suppress my emotions. But it turned out it didn't. I suppressed my emotions to the point thinking I was strong, but inside I was crumbling. It delayed my healing, distorted my identity, and created a disconnect between me and God. I was serving him, but I wasn't surrendering to him.
That's deep. Yeah. So you mentioned that your emotional crash became a turning point. So what did that breakdown look like, and how did God meet you in it without shame?
My crash looked like isolation, deep sadness, silent cries that no one heard. But God met me right there in the middle of my mess. There was no shame, just his gentle love reminding me. After consistent reminding, but you know, when you're hard-headed, you think you can just reminding me yet again that he had not forgotten me, that that he felt everything that I felt, that he cried when I cried. He was waiting for me to turn and run back to him. So that was the beginning of my breaking up with fear, which was 2018, embracing true healing.
Okay, well, that's coming into my next question. You boldly say, I broke up with fear, which I think is powerful. And what did fear look like in your life? And what did the breakup process actually require from you?
Breaking up, the fear was my prison guard. It was the shackles around my ankles and my wrist. And it showed up as perfection, people pleasing, and hiding behind titles. Breaking up with fear required me to confront my past, uproot the lies that I believed about me, which I'm still doing. Just because I broke up with fear years ago, that was a toxic relationship. So, you know, after a toxic relationship, you got to take time out to truly purge. And trusting trusting God with my unknown, because that was a fear. I had a slew of fears, fear of the unknown, fear of rejection. And so I had to learn to, and I'm still learning, to trust God with my unknown. And like I said, it wasn't overnight, but it's a daily declaration, a daily breaking up with fear. Because at any moment, that voice in your head will tell you, you know, you can't do this. You shouldn't say that.
Yeah.
But I have to remind myself, this is bigger than me.
Yes.
I must go.
Yes. Yes. I love that. One of the things that, I don't know why it took me so long to get this, but you know, in the scripture, how it says that, you know, God did not give us a spirit of fear. The fact that fear was a spirit. Listen, I'm 52. I was like, now I've read this passage a million times and I just got that. Fear is a spirit. And you know what? So now, because it's one of those, like you say, a daily walk, you have to remind yourself, look, God did that's not what God wants for me. And so I have to rebuke it, because it'll wash over you. You know, you got your kids, you worry about this, that, and the third. But I like how you said it's a daily declaration. It's something you have to put effort in daily.
Yes. And one of the, I want us to realize that there's two types of fears. There's the fear, the emotion of fear that we are entitled to as humans. But like you said, the spirit of fear, that is what God did not give us. Fear, the physical fear, it helps keep us out of trouble.
Right.
You know, keeps us out of danger. But when you got a fear that's looming over you, to the point where it stops you in your tracks. Yeah. It keeps you bound. It keeps you from even trying new things, discovering what your purpose is. Now you're over in the negative fear, spirit of fear. And that fear keeps you from getting close to people as well as getting close to God.
Mm, that's true. That is true. Okay, let's talk about your book. So your book title, God, Why Did You Save Me? Is such a raw and honest question. What inspired those words, and how did writing the book become part of your healing?
That is a question from the soul of an 8-year-old that I was consistently asking God after the house fire that two of my siblings perished in. Prior to that, I had a nightly prayer that God would just take me in my sleep because I didn't want to live my life anymore because it was so bad. I'm the oldest of 6 children. 3 are deceased. And so I was already mad at God because he kept waking me up every morning. And then the anger grew more because he saved me out of the fire. And I mind you, all of the trauma that the Lord has brought me through, I didn't want to live anymore, but I had to realize that, well, later on, I realized he had a bigger plan for me. But anyways, after everything that the Lord has brought me through, I looked around and thought, why am I here? You know, one of the many questions that we tend to ask, why am I here? Why was I born? God, why did you save me out of this? And it took some time to get over the anger because it spilled over into my adult years. Mm-hmm. You couldn't tell me that God loved me. You couldn't tell me that because I looked at the fact, look what you took people from me. You allowed my siblings to die. You could not. I might as well have been an atheist. I might as well have been an atheist, but I kept looking around and saw that how God was moving in other people's lives. And in my heart, I had a longing. God, I see you moving in other people's lives, but I don't see you moving in mine.
Yeah.
So the book was a part of my journey, not to say that everybody else's journey is going to include a book. That's why I tell people your recovery journey is your recovery journey.
Yes.
But the book was therapy, my testimony, and revelation all in one. And it showed me my pain had purpose.
Beautiful. Yeah. And listen, I encourage you ladies, get the book. It is, it's really powerful. I mean, Ms. Carolyn's been through a lot. And each page, I was like, wow. But it also is that story of, you know, when God takes you through something, you know, and propels you into your purpose. The fact that the things that you overcame, you know, through God's help, now you're able to help other people with those things. So that's amazing. That's just how the God we serve works. So it's beautiful. So what do you hope a woman carrying invisible wounds will feel or learn as she reads your book?
I need for her to see that there is life on the other side of trauma, but she has to do the work. I need for her to know that she's not alone, she's not crazy, and she's not too far gone. I want her to see that healing is possible and that God is not mad at her. He's waiting to walk her through the process. My hope is that she sees her reflection in my story and finds the strength to begin her own.
Wow. Okay. You're now a certified peer recovery specialist and Christian life coach. How did your personal healing shape the way you walk alongside other women in their own trauma recovery?
My healing taught me to listen without judgment because I was very judgmental, especially to the women who were in relationships that they couldn't get out. I was very judgmental when it was coming to that until I fell into the same thing. To hold space for others and to let the Holy Spirit lead. I don't come from a place of thinking I'm high, superiority. I come from a place of understanding now. I've sat in the same darkness and I know how to help the women to come to the light at the same time.
Powerful. So you work with many women who face depression and anxiety. What are some of the first steps that they can take to stop surviving and start healing, especially when for years their faith has taught them to push through in silence, to serve through the pain, and to trust God without fully addressing the emotional wounds underneath?
The first step is permission, giving yourself permission to feel, to be honest, and to heal. Faith doesn't mean pretending that everything is okay. Faith means trusting God enough to bring him your brokenness and then trusting him that, trusting him that he loves you enough to bring you through it, to mend the broken heart. And from there, finding a safe space. I think about coaching and counseling and support. But if you've experienced traumatic things in your life, I first say, find you a trauma therapist. Mm-hmm. Until you can make peace with your past, you cannot move forward. That's the purpose of the coach. So if a woman comes to me and she wants coaching, and I sense that there is healing that needs to be done, then I would say, sister, there is some healing in this area that needs to be done. And I will give her, referrals as a trauma therapist. But the trauma needs to be dealt with before you can move forward. Because God, we render ourselves useless for God if we keep sitting in hurt and unforgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, that's true. That is true. So you said wellness is a lifeline, not a luxury. What are your personal non-negotiables when it comes to maintaining your mental health as a woman in leadership?
And this is something I'm still working on, but God has helped me to know that boundaries are non-negotiable, time with him, quiet time with him, and community. Fear keeps you isolated, but healing requires community, which means you can't heal on your own. Just like the children needs a community, what's that old adage says, we need a village. It takes a village to raise the children. I say the same thing about us as adults. It takes a village to raise us.
I agree.
Because the little girl and little boy in us is wounded. So it's going to take that trauma therapist. It's going to take that social worker. It's going to take that friend that can look over and see that you're hurting. So it's going to take that. So the boundaries, the quiet time, the rest, and your community, those are non-negotiable to me, even though I fight with myself at times thinking I can still, do things. I used to pour from an empty cup all the time. But now I prioritize my soul care. So the soul care, I say that usually instead of self-care. But self-care is really self-love. I'm finding that out. But I didn't come from a place of self-love. And that's why it's so difficult for me to accept the self-care because I don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
But God is teaching me.
Good. It is so important. And I'm glad that you're setting up space to do that because, you definitely have a purpose, your ministry, the things with helping the other women. But, and I always ask, that's a question I like to ask because I get a chance to talk to so many dynamic women that are doing things for others. And I always want to know, okay, so how do you care for you? Because we don't do it well. I mean, as women, we don't. We just don't. I've learned later in life to take that time for myself as well. So, yeah. And I love how you said soul care too. I love that. Okay. Now, for the woman listening today who feels like she's hiding behind strength, what would you gently say to her right now?
Sis, God sees behind the mask. You don't have to keep holding it all together. It's okay not to be okay. And that healing is holy. And then there's strength in surrender. And that's what I'm working on. I'm working diligently with that one. And then let him carry the things that you've been carrying.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one. That's a big one. Because we say, you know, oh, I'm turning it over to God. And then we pick it right back up. That's a big one, Miss Carolyn. I love that. Okay, so my final question, and then we're going to get into some things you've got going on, how we can support those things, all the exciting things you've got. But my final question is, looking at your journey now, how do you see God's hand in your healing? And what do you believe he was preparing you for when he carries you through those darkest moments?
Now I see that nothing was wasted. As the scripture says, all things work together for our good. God reminded me a few years ago that he is not a wasteful God. And later on, he began to show me how that he was truly not a wasteful God, because he captured our tears in bottles. And that's in Revelations. And then in Psalm, he captures our prayers in golden bowls. And that was so moving to me. That was so moving to me. And then God was preparing me to be the voice, the vessel, and the safe place for other women. He turned my survival story into a purpose story. Those dark places built the foundation of everything that I am doing. And I give him all the glory. And so I think that's one of the things we used to say, that he doesn't save us to sit on the bench.
Yeah.
You know, so God wants his daughters to be healed. Recovery is one thing and healing is another. But you have to start on your healing journey simultaneously as the recovery journey. We are tripods, mind, body, and soul. You can sit up in church all day long, but if your mind is just all over the place, you're not focused. The word is going in one ear and out the other. So my favorite thing that I say, Jesus plus therapy equals total healing.
Ooh, I like that. Okay. Love that. Well, per usual, y'all, she has, again, dropped some really wise things. Some gems, if you will. I hope that you pick those up and will apply that to your life. Now let's talk about what you have going on right now. Like I said, we talked about the book and your foundation. So what are some of the things you've got going on and how can we support them?
Thank you. I have a new ebook on Amazon, KDP, that's called Well-Kept Women. It's specifically for the single women, learning our identity and worth in God, but even married women can glean from it as well. That's on Amazon. And then there's a Bible study, a women's Bible study that I am going to start. I haven't decided a future date for it yet, but it's going the name of the Bible study is Well Kept Women. And I am, my landing page is called, it's carolynjmurphy.com. But I'm all over social media, Carolyn J. Murphy, and Firm Foundations Community. And it's LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok.
Okay. All right. Well, for ladies, I will have that information pinned in the comments. And for those that listen on the audio podcast, I'll have all the information for you in the show notes. So, Miss Carolyn, thank you again. I hope you won't be a stranger. I would love to have you back as you get into, you know, we talk more about the ebook, The Well-Kept Woman. Come on back. You're a friend to the show. So anytime.
Yes, yeah. I would be more than happy to whatever I fit into that you think I fit into. I will be back.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. Any final words before we close out?
Besides the fact that your story matters, your emotions matter, your purpose is greater than the pain that you're enduring. Mm-hmm. And I say your purpose is greater than the pain. Don't put your in it because you're taking ownership of it. God doesn't want us to take ownership of those negative things anymore.
That's right. All right, ladies, there you have it. And as I always say, ladies, please continue to feed your health, build your wealth, and walk in your purpose. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. If you haven't yet, go ahead and like this video. Give us a comment and let us know what you thought of this episode. And just share with us your thoughts. And if you are listening on audio, give us a follow. And thank you, as always. Keep coming back, and we'll see you next time.